From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in September of 2022 when the Rochester City School District hired a new superintendent. This one, we were told, might finally be the one to stay for a while. After years of revolving doors in the superintendent's office, the RCSD looked inward and chose Carmine Peluso. Peluso had built a career of more than two decades within the district. People knew him. They said he would be the right choice to manage a difficult school closure plan. He'd be a good bet to outlast his predecessors. But instead, Carmine Peluso is leaving, just like the others. He announced this week he's taking the superintendent's job at Churchville Chi-Lai, effective July. He'll spend the next several months winding down his Rochester career, and the board is left to figure out who might be the next superintendent. The head of the Rochester Teachers Association, Adam Urbanski, told WXXI that Peluso hinted at the reason for his departure. Urbanski told WXXI, quote, "He said that he's been struggling with this for some time now, with the lack of respect and lack of support and some interference and micromanagement and criticism by particularly one school board member and sometimes two. At the same time, he said that he had tremendous support from the board leadership and from the majority of the board," end quote. Urbanski declined to identify the board members who he said were potentially causing a problem. To put this in perspective, Peluso is going to Churchville Chi-Lai, where the outgoing superintendent there is wrapping up a 10-year stint on the job. In those 10 years, Rochester has had five superintendents and several interim superintendents. The Rochester City School Board met this week to discuss it. There are many opinions about what this means now, next week, next year, and who might be best positioned to step in when Peluso is gone. Are we going to see another national search? Is the answer already perhaps in the district? And what exactly happened here? Let me welcome our guests, the president and the vice president of the Rochester City School Board. The president is Cynthia Elliott. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having us.
And Beatrice, President Elliott, I don't want to have to yell at a president, but you got to get your microphone a little closer to you. There you go. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Vice President Beatrice LeBron, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Can I just start by asking you when both of you knew? President Elliott, when did you find out the superintendent was leaving?
I was actually, occasionally I was sitting on the cabinet meetings, and I was on a cabinet meeting Tuesday talking with the staff. Although the superintendent was not there, he was actually doing a reading over at one of the schools to kids. And I saw that my phone was ringing, and it was him. And I originally put the call on mute, but then when I answered the phone and he told me then, I sort of just left the meeting altogether. And they thought that I had some kind of technical difficulty. But a few minutes later, they were also informed that the superintendent would be leaving. So I went into probably shock. It was just unbelievable to hear that. But I understand, you know, and I guess I didn't get that much of appreciation, because when you're working in an urban environment, you tend to have thick skin. But in the position that he was in and the great work that he was doing, because he's done an amazing amount of work in the last year and a half or so that he's been there. And so I didn't realize just how difficult, you know, some of our colleagues were with him. And so we wish him well. We're going to go on in the district. But, you know, to get back to your question, when did I know? It was Tuesday, and I'm still processing it.
I mean, you almost found out close to when everybody else did.
Right. That's right.
Was there any moment where there even seemed like a window for you to try to convince him to stay, or it sounded like by the time you found out, it was a done deal?
Done deal.
Yeah.
Done deal. But that doesn't mean I can't continue to try. But I also have to respect his decision. You know, it was family. There were some family concerns, and you know, when you're trying to do your best, and you know, there may be some, you know, a lot of criticism, and you know, it's difficult. And I'm not in his position. I'm not in his skin.
Right.
So whereas I can sort of, you know, take off my earrings and put on my Vaseline and fight it, you know, there are people. That's a term in the hood. There,
it's a visual, an analogy,
yeah,
if you will.
Some people may not be able to do that kind of fight, and he should not have to, because you know the entire district wants to respect us as board members, and you know we're at the point where we want to work together. But I also say, if you can recall, you know I came in aggressive from a community perspective. I had, you know, been trained by the fight organization. But at some point, if you want to work with kids, you got to learn how to transition from being a radical advocate to being able to govern on behalf of our kids.
Beatrice LeBron, the vice president of the city school board, when did you find out?
Same, around the same time. I was actually in a Zoom meeting at work and got a text message and was actually very confused because I had not heard. And, you know, I wish I could say that I was sort of shocked, but I do think that the reality is that, you know, to the superintendent's credit, has communicated, right, that to the board as a whole, and to President Elliott and myself privately, we all have one-on-ones with him, you know, just concerns and frustrations and issues. And so to pretend that, like, oh, this came out of nowhere, I personally cannot say that, right? If you're sort of listening and paying attention to some of the behaviors and some of the things that are happening, you know, I want to support what President Elliott's that, like, nor should he have to. Yeah, no employee should have to endure, deal with adults who don't know the role and have not over 2 years figured out how to fit into the role to govern, from coming from advocacy. And I'll say this, I have been in this community a long time, consider myself an advocate, never seen this individual as an advocate. I think he sort of believes that they themselves are an advocate, and maybe they are in their minds, but they're, to President Elliott's point, there is this sort of transition that sort of happens because, you know, everybody runs because they feel like, oh, what's so hard about this job, or I can make a difference, or this is the skill set that I have, and I think this is what's missing. But eventually, you do have to figure out how to be an effective governing board member to get things done. Otherwise, you're just there sort of disrupting good people from doing the actual work versus disrupting bad work happening from bad people. It's like you're sort of defeating the purpose.
Let me just say that some of what listeners are hearing from the vice president and the president of the school board may sound a little bit cryptic. And so let me just say a couple things about that. I understand that the superintendent, while he's leaving, has not left.
100%.
He's staying until July. At least, or he starts in Churchville, Charlie, in July. He's staying with RCSD through
to the end of the school year.
Okay, through the end of June, essentially. And that he must not only continue to do this work, he must continue to work with board members to the best of his ability.
100%.
And I know that you respect that. What we will do this hour is just try to be as clear as we can be, and then the president and the vice president will make a decision on what they feel like they can say publicly. Because I know this is tough.
I want people to understand we're essentially talking about an employee, right? And the things that they're experiencing or have had to endure, but they're still an employee, right? And no one's business.
Yeah.
Yes, the superintendent is an employee to the board and to the school district. And so think about yourself as an employee, right? And having your supervisor sort of be on air, sort of putting your business on Front Street while you still have to work there the individual. So it's a sort of very delicate, in my opinion, situation and circumstances. And we don't want to further sort of put anyone in a position to further sort of have harm, if you will.
Okay, so I want to do two things. I want to listen to the only time Carmine Peluso was on the show was with the president of the board, Cynthia Elliott. We had a lovely conversation. And I asked the superintendent about how long he thinks he might be here, the tenure of the position, the challenge of doing hard work in a very difficult district circumstance. And I want to listen at length to some of what Carmine Peluso said then. Everybody knows the revolving door that's happened in the superintendent's role. And Everybody that I've talked to has had glowing things to say about you, Dr. Peluso. And I mean that sincerely. That means on the record on this program. That means in private conversations. There is so much hope that this is the moment that there is stability now, that someone will be here for more than a year or two or maximum three. Is it your expectation, first of all? I mean, if you have it your way, how long are you going to be here in this role?
I would like to be here as long as I possibly can, where I'm still making an impact and a difference in this community, right? That's what wakes me up every day, to kind of make sure that we're better than we were the day before. It's no joke. It's no secret. You could Google it, how much time I have left in my career of education, right? If you had to look at a certain age for being a number, right? I have time before I retire or retirement eligible. But my wife's a teacher in this district, right? 26 years here. I started teaching here. I have no ambition of leaving the Rochester community, right? There's no need for me. I don't want a bigger city. I don't want a bigger place. I don't want to go somewhere else. I want to be in the Rochester community, right? And I will be here as long as I can.
But I would argue that if we are to turn this around, there will be people that will be coming looking for him, So
elaborate on that.
Well,
districts and other cities?
Other districts and other cities, because Rochester is known nationally now for its low performance. And if we can change the trajectory, that he's able to do this, I have no doubt that, people will come looking for him. So I'm looking at, the next 5 years, what will happen in the next 5 years. They may make him a deal that's really sweet. but in all seriousness, we believe that he's going to remain. And he has said, he's got his roots here. And I think we've got the right superintendent to be able to stabilize the district and then to be able to put the right systems in place in order to improve academic performance.
Part of what Board President Elliott is saying is that if things go as well as you hope they will, people will come for you. Are you committed to staying here even if they do?
I'm telling you, my family has been in the Rochester community for what it is. I have no ambition of picking up and moving anywhere else at this point in time. It's just not where my interest lies, right? This is where my roots are. This is where my family is, right? This is where my wife is, right? And so I would never uplift her to go to another community. Her career is just as important as teaching kids in this district as mine is. So, I'm committed to being here as long as this board and I feel like we're productively moving in the right direction to help our kids.
And Evan, if I can just also interject that, having said that, that just speaks to the commitment him and his wife have to the Rochester City School District. If they've been here that long and not been willing to go to other districts, that just speaks to their commitment and their love to the children who are in our district, and that's to be commended.
How long until you're retirement eligible?
So I got until I'm 55. So I'm not there yet. So retirement eligible at the age of – we're all retirement eligible at the age of 55. That's not when – I'm saying my time in education ends.
Sure.
But, that is, that's retirement.
You got listeners wondering how many years away you are from 55.
7 years.
7 years. Okay. 7 years would be a long tenure for a superintendent happens.
Correct.
That conversation you just heard was 6 months ago. And something happened in those 6 months to convince Carmine Peluso, the superintendent, that it wasn't going to be 7 years, it wasn't going to be five. It was going to be a year and a half, and he was gone. And so he will leave now. And you've heard the president and the vice president of the school board talk about, Cynthia Elliott saying the shock of hearing that it's actually happening, and Beatrice LeBron, the vice president, saying she can't say that she was shocked given some of the dynamics. Now, the reason that I just want to make sure that we say that I allow you to say everything that you can say about this is twofold. First, transparency is always a good thing in government, and I know both of you feel that way. The second is that if there are things that have happened with a board member, with two, whatever happened, in your view, and we'll try to talk to all the board on this program in the weeks to come, but if there's something that's happened that has convinced a nearly lifelong RCSD employee who became the superintendent to leave after a year, how are you going to keep anybody? And so what do you do about that? So Adam Urbanski says he talked to Dr. Peluso, and Dr. Peluso said that it was basically just too much, that some of it was in regards to one and sometimes two board members. Now, the meetings are public. We can go back and watch them and look for some of the tea leaves and the clues. Beatriz LeBron, I don't know if you feel like you can name a board member. I will ask if you can name who you're thinking of. And that is in your hands.
Well, you know, one of the things that
Cynthia Elliott.
Yeah, that I'm concerned about is that because we are moving in the right direction and we are working well together. Last year was a phenomenal year of us working together. But every time you get a new board, there's a learning curve. And again, when you're talking about people who say they've been in the community and, you know, they represent a segment of the community, and when they get on the board, because we are pressured, the city is pressured to ensure that we are educating Rochester's children. And so that there are people on there that believe that they can do that, and that they, in certain instances, can do it with force. And but you can't. And there are systems there that are issues, and people come in not knowing all of the dynamics, what may be causing us not to educate Rochester's children. That information they don't know. They just know what they see in the media and the negativity that has been in the media. But when it comes in to do this work, that's a whole entirely different thing. And I think we're moving forward. We have gotten board goals that the board has unanimously agreed on. We've got a strategic plan. We've got school reconfiguration. There are a lot of things that have happened in spite of, you know, some of our members who are new, who are trying to find their way. But we have to continue this work. I think that with Dr. Peluso puts his heart, mind, and soul in this work. He's up early morning, late at night. Still going to see his son's games in other states, coming back the next day, you know, when we have events. So that can wear. And then to have, you know, certain commissioners to dig at you, it can be, he's in a vulnerable position and he's very knowledgeable. He tries to learn everything that he can learn in order to do this job. But I'm not in his skin, and I think that you can only take what you can take.
All right, let me turn to Beatriz, and I'm going to put this way.
Yeah.
what our guests, the president and the vice president of the school board, are saying, their contention to the public is that for the vast majority of the board is working well together.
Correct.
That they are pulling in the same direction, that a board that has for years had to deal with dysfunction is mostly where you want them to be. They are also saying that there have been one, maybe two board members whose interactions with the superintendent have been so egregious that it is plausible that that contributed to the superintendent's decision.
100%.
To bail. Okay, so that's your position.
And it's my position, but also I want to point out that it's, you know, my concern and my fear at this time that it's not just the superintendent and that the issue...
That other people could leave?
That other people can leave. There have been other people that have expressed, not just from the cabinet, but the board has a limited number of direct staff that report to us. And those individuals have come to different points to this body of the board or the board leadership to express concerns. And, you know, what I want to point out, too, what Carmine stated was as long as I can. And so there has to be some understanding that we can only tolerate so much. And that goes for any human being in any work environment. If I am hired to do a job and I am the expert and I have dedicated my life to study this, get a degree and work my way up from teaching to principal to chief under various superintendents, right? And then I finally make it to the superintendency seat that I don't have the level of respect that I've earned from certain individuals, right, who have zero background, none, in education, don't have the degree, don't have the experience. That's one person. Then you have the other who occasionally taught as a long-term sub, maybe claims to be certified. I have no idea. However, you have that individual who then, you know, believes that they know more than the superintendent. And when you have those two forces, sort of, you were already enduring one individual who's already intense as it is. And then here comes January. Here comes a brand new board member. You know, we got two this year. So here comes the two new board members that you are also trying to navigate and build out your rapport and relationships with. You have one who's coming in open-minded, open heart, and learning, with a mindset of learning. And then you have another one sort of coming in like I've never personally seen anywhere. And I just want to note that there were interventions, there were conversations, there were legal conversations had, there were state intervention conversations had. And so I hate that part of the decision of keeping sort of the chaos that at times out from the public light, because the public says, oh, we don't want to watch fights at board meetings. We don't want to. So everyone making a conscious collective effort to keep it out of the public, but it's still happening behind the scenes. And that's the problem, that this is still all happening behind the scenes. And these individuals will go on public and pretend, or maybe not have the comprehension to understand that it's them, even though it's been pointed out. It's you. I just want to be clear. I will not mention names, but people can read between the lines and have some understanding that I have directly said to these individuals that it's them. So then they turn around and pretend that it's not them. There's some insanity in that. And we're asking a professional to have to endure and sit through that, and he doesn't have to.
Okay, but there's something that may be in the minds of listeners that I want to make sure I understand from both of you. And Beatrice, I'll start with you. There's no superintendent's job in any district where there wouldn't be criticism.
100%.
And there's no...
This is not criticism.
Okay, there's no CEO's job. There's no executive's job. You probably get criticism.
I have a board that I report to.
Cynthia Elliott has gotten criticism.
Yes, absolutely.
I get criticism. So I want to make it... I want to give you some space to describe for listeners if you agree with the sentiment that superintendents have to be able to take criticism. And if it gets intense and you feel like it's incompetent, why not just ignore it?
This is
why
beyond,
are we leaving here?
And I thank you for that question.
Is that
question.
A fair question?
Absolutely, because I want to be clear
okay.
that this is, in my opinion, some of it was even borderline, and I did pen this, right? This is borderline harassment, right? So this is not, and I'll give an example to the listeners, and I'll use you as an example, Evan. You are the host of the radio station. Could you imagine a board member from WXSI coming in every day, holding office here, right next to your studio, to watch what you're doing, to question every conversation you're having, to physically interject potentially in investigations that are happening downstairs, right? The district is a microorganism. There's lots of stuff happening. You're questioning everything that's happening. And it's a constant, constant thing, 24/7. And what I, you know, pointed out yesterday in conversation with some individuals, you know, what the public sees is one board meeting a week, if that. And then that's it. You're not seeing all the other meetings that are happening behind the scenes, all the other additional meeting requests, right? Because board members can request meetings with the superintendent on their own. And now you have different board members on your schedule every single week, but you're still the superintendent. You still have to manage. So same with you. You still have to be on air. You still have a schedule and a calendar of things you have to do to get your job done. Now you have a board member from WXSI coming in every day. They want to sit in on these meetings. They want to give you an opinion on what shows you should be covering. Don't say it like that. I want you to say it like this. That is insanity. That is insanity. And it's not a board member's job to supervise directly as one individual, the superintendent. And we have said over and over, it is the supervision is in the body of the board. The decisions are made in the body. The meetings happen as a body. Large requests even happen as a body. And, you know, there's times I've even pushed back and say, why do you need this data? And I'll just give a concrete sort of and these are small examples, again, because this is what's out there in the public already. It exists. People can go back.
Okay.
But the last board meeting was audit, and we had the commissioner read a letter. And in that letter, it specifically mentioned certain individuals who are affiliated with CRC. So trying to do that crossover. The issue is that the superintendent had already addressed that, right? And so the superintendent already said there are no contracts with CRC. We also had the auditor check the minute that the CRC scandal happened to run, you know, any contracts potentially with these individual names. That was the first thing that was done. But the superintendent already responded to that in writing to this individual. And then they decided to bring it up at a public board meeting. They almost mentioned names, which would have put the district in a position to be sued. And then it was already addressed, right? So now you as a board member are purposely misinforming or casting doubts of putting seeds of doubt, if you will, on the public about the superintendent and whether he did already handle this or not. And that's just not just him, right? We had the auditor also do a check on all contracts to do a comparison, and that was done weeks ago. So now you want to bring it back up. And so imagine that every single day that you're being questioned on whether what you're saying is. And so you're in a position where you can't win. If I'm telling you that this box is blue and you can see it's blue and everyone can see it's blue, but you're still arguing that perhaps it's a different color. You can't win in those situations, and you can't win with individuals who have that logic and mindset. Now imagine another person sort of coming into the mix, and that person is coming even more deranged, in my opinion, more deranged. There's only so much an individual can take.
So this is not typical criticism. Yeah. Okay.
So that's not typical criticism.
Yeah. Cynthia Elliott.
So, but we still have to move forward. And we still have to work together as a board to the best of our ability. And so we are going through governance training together. We just had a training on Saturday. We are going to be, hopefully the board is going to approve tonight, a contract for the Council of Great City Schools, where we're going through a program for about 2 years to learn how to govern. And so they, and let me just step back and say this, they were elected by citizens of, voters of the city of Rochester. That's who they, the board, the voters decided that they want to have elected. And so they're on this body, and we have to work with them as the best as we can, but not at the expense of ensuring that our students and our staff are taken care of. I have learned, and this board has learned, to be able to trust the district. Doesn't mean that we don't have differences, but they understand it. Everybody's on board to work on behalf of children. I've had conversations with the unions, sending letters out. Today I'll meet with the executive cabinet because we still have to move forward. Dr. Peluso has put us in a great position to continue this work, and that's what we're going to focus in on.
All right, David, hang there. I'll take your call in a moment. I have a couple more questions I want to get through with the president and the vice president of the Rochester City School District's board. It's Cynthia Elliott and Beatrice LeBron. They're talking to us about the situation the district is now in with another superintendent, this time Carmine Peluso, deciding to leave that post after a short period of time. He will be taking over as Churchville Chi-Lai's new superintendent in July. He will stay on through the end of this school year with Rochester. Dr. Peluso did do an interview with Justin Murphy, the Democrat and Chronicle. You know, he said essentially this was a very challenging, difficult decision. He thinks it was the right one for himself and his family. Yeah, I think he was vague, and I want to say respectfully, I understand that, and he is invited on this program. I need to ask the president and the vice president of the school board to address the fact that there are going to be listeners who think that it is immoral to leave, that if you pull the ripcord after a year and a half, knowing the history of this district, that you have done something, that this is a breach of some kind of ethics. It doesn't sound like you feel that way. Cynthia Elliott, do you think that there's anything immoral about Dr. Peluso's decision?
I wouldn't say
that. No,
you don't think so. People have to, we never know what the next day is going to bring. Now, he may not have shared with us all of his all of what has gone into his decision.
Sure.
And that is his right to do so. So I don't know if there's something else that's going on that exacerbated or was the foundation of it, and these other things just exacerbated.
Is this different than the Terry Dade situation, you think?
It absolutely is different than the Terry Dade.
You're nodding over there, Beatrice LeBron.
Well, because I attribute Terry Dade to Van White specifically and the behaviors that he was doing, because remember, this was the time of this budget deficit being confirmed, right? So Terry Dade was here, and even during those interviews, I was like, hey, we have a deficit, and they were like, ignore her, she's crazy. But the reality was that Terry Dade got here, the external auditor, a few months after his arrival, confirmed that, and just the president he was the president at the time, and the behaviors that he was displaying. And that's part of it, right? We have to recognize the behaviors of certain board members, and not just board members flipping out, because I know people are going to come and try to comment about my behaviors on the board. And I want to be clear that I only had one tumultuous relationship with one superintendent. I've supported every superintendent after Barbara Dean Williams, but Barbara Dean Williams should have never been the superintendent. And Barbara Dean Williams was actively putting us in a financial hole. Called her out multiple times around that, even before the budget.
And you think the numbers proved you right then?
100% they proved me. I would wish they wouldn't have, though, but they did.
Okay. Now, but when it comes to Peluso, do you think there's anything immoral about this decision to leave this quickly?
No, I do think, well, first of all, he was with us as an interim for a year before he took a contract for the permanent position. And so he'll fulfill 2 years out of a 3-year contract. The other piece is that prior to that, he's put in time into this district. He was a chief. He was a chief himself under multiple superintendents. And so this is partly why we thought, well, he can handle it. But it's different when you're a chief and your supervisor is leaving, when you're the supervisor and it's your supervisors who are sort of coming at your juggling and managing seven personalities. And President Elliott and myself cannot sort of be there at all times to give him that shield, if you will. And so he does have to face and interface with them. And I just want to be clear that I do think, you know, I'm very sad that he's leaving, because I have a great rapport with the superintendent. However, he'll be transitioning, and we got contracts in place. We have the ECPO, you know, transition that will be happening tonight. But we have a real strategic plan, right? And a plan to with the reconfigurations to move forward. So I feel like, yeah, the superintendent's leaving, but this is a little bit different for this district, because there's plans on what the future is going to look like as we move forward. The key, however, and I want to be clear, is that if we do not figure out how to curtail this, we will end up losing good cabinet members who have stuck it out. We will lose good board staff who have contributed to this work as well. And
could you struggle to hire another superintendent?
Absolutely, we're going to struggle to hire a new superintendent. And we're going to get a new superintendent. And again, if the behaviors are not curtailed, they're going to come in and say, I do not have to put up with this. And that's the piece that I think these certain individual board members, it's not clicking for them. I do not have to put up with this as superintendent. You need me. You need me. And so I just want to be clear that that doesn't mean that the board then goes, we desperately need this person. We're not holding him accountable or her accountable. Absolutely not. It's a give and take on both sides. But to President Elliott's point, the give and take with the trust is the biggest piece. And so if you have board members who adamantly just cannot trust the superintendent and then use that to launch off every other accusation, this is just never going to work.
Is the next superintendent in the district already?
I'm not sure. I can't answer that.
Too early?
Too early. I will say, though, that we've got people who are committed. They're going to continue to do the work. Our next step is to look at the process for identifying an interim. And then, you know, the process for hiring the permanent superintendent.
How long will that take, do you think?
Well, I'm not, probably I don't know. What do you think? Yeah. 6 months or so? I'm not sure, to tell you the
yeah,
truth.
So,
but
so
I think we want to do it
methodically. First.
It'd be an interim first.
Well, we factored it out because Dr. Peluso would be, we want him to finish the school year,
yes,
right? Because that would be the least disruptive, really, to the staff and to the students. So having him finish this school year, then having to identify an interim, personally, I will say there are no decisions for an interim, but I can say what I personally believe is that it does have to be someone from the cabinet who has been a part of the strategic planning, the modernization plans, the configuration plans, because to bring an intern in who's not familiar with all these big plans swirling at the same time would be extremely irresponsible.
I was thinking of more of a permanent superintendent, not the interim.
I understand. Yeah.
Right. So then the next step would be
interim
the permanent.
Is almost certainly going to be internal. Permanent could be internal, could be from an outside surgeon.
Correct.
Okay. And that's likely to be sometime in the next 6 months or so.
Correct. The goal is, I mean, ideally we would love to have a superintendent in place before September 1st, right?
Opening of the school year.
Exactly. But there will be a search. And as the board decides as a body what that process will look like, we will be sure to make sure it's public and that we're informing the public around the process and the selections and things like that.
All right. Emails first and then phone calls. I'll try to take them all here with Cynthia Elliott and Beatrice LeBron, the president and vice president of the Rochester City School Board. A number of listeners have emailed to ask something along the lines of the following. President Elliott, they're asking, at what point do you, as the president of the board, move to take a step of removing a board member that you think is actually counterproductive to the success and betterment of the children in the district? Is that something you can do? If there is bullying, disrespectful behavior, could it warrant the removal of board members here?
Well, that's more so of a state decision. And I don't think that we are
you
able to.
You don't have the authority.
We
as
don't
the
have the
is
authority.
You don't have the authority.
Don't have the authority.
And the board itself couldn't vote 5-2-6-1 to do it?
No.
Okay, so that has to be a state decision.
Mm-hmm. So I do want to chime in on this because I do think that this has to be, in my opinion, the catastrophic moment, right, or catastrophic moment that occurs for Rochester, for our state delegation to start looking at expanding the pathway for board removal of members and further defining out that pathway. Because right now, the only way to really remove is to, we could vote, but there has to be evidence of like, you know, they broke executive session, right? But that's really hard to prove. Buffalo only got the opportunity because he went to the media and he broke executive session into the paper. Like, that was easy evidence. But the other pathways are extremely difficult. And really, this is why board are the way that they are. But I do think, and I've been looking into this because there is one law on the books that's only applicable to Rochester and Buffalo around the superintendent. So the superintendents in Rochester and in Buffalo are allowed to pick their cabinet without board vote. They have that only happens in Rochester and Buffalo. Other superintendents have to get their board vote. And so I start looking at if they can make these customized laws that are only applicable to Rochester and Buffalo, then we can perhaps start looking at removal proceedings and creating a pathway for the Rochester City School Board. But also, I just want to say that school boards and this whole entire makeup under government and politics is a failing model. And I just have to say that because...
What's the right model?
First of all, think about the fact that we all get elected from the community. You don't have to have anything other than a high school diploma, point blank period, be over 18 and be a U.S. citizen. You don't even have to have experience in education at all. But then when you get here, you're not required to do any training other than a one-time, your first year finance training for like 4 hours. And because the big five school districts have a different financial structure than the rest of the school districts, that finance training is really geared to the hundreds of school districts that are not applicable as a system to the big five.
So you want required training?
I want required ongoing training so that people can understand education laws and what they can and can't do as board members. And that should be driven by mandated by the state. It's a struggle for us at times to bring these trainings to the board members where we can't force them to sit into these trainings.
Do you agree with that, President Elliott?
Well, I'm as the vice president is talking, I got a text that says that we do have some legal mechanisms to address unlawful board member behavior through removal. But I won't get.
But that's an extreme step, isn't it?
It is extreme. But we just lost a superintendent based on some behaviors. So, you know, we may be at that. And then the way in which they have interacted with staff, it has been almost egregious the way have been interacting with staff, to the point where I've had to make a decision that one board member not even be in the room with employees, but they do their onboarding on Zoom online.
All right, Let me get some of your feedback via phone. And David has first been waiting. Hi, David, go ahead.
Yes, one question first. Cannot the board put in the contract for a superintendent who's hired a financial disincentive if they leave the position prior to a certain time period?
That's essentially non-compete is what he's trying to do. And those have been largely frowned upon. But go ahead, Beatrice LeBron.
I just want to say I would love to. We've had these conversations in the past. We're not allowed to. And also, you know, it is a competitive space, so we want to attract the best superintendent. And there will be other districts that will remove that, and they would go to much easier.
But let me also add this to it, that we've got districts around the nation that picks off our people, not only the superintendent, deputy superintendents, other staff, that because they're very well trained. And so they are attracted to other school districts. We have that kind of leaves where our staff are, they get better salaries or whatever the case may be, and some of our staff make the decision to go. So it's not only the superintendent, it's other districts as well, because they come well-trained.
David, anything you want to add?
Well, it's not a non-compete. They could take another job. All they have to do is that they would have to pay a certain amount of money if they do it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's contract law specialists who want to answer that of what you legally could do. You may have to get creative with the next contract. I have no idea.
I just want to say, though, David, I will bring that back to our legal because I don't know. Yeah, but I certainly am open to bringing that suggestion back. I personally think it's a great suggestion.
However, if money is not the issue and they're willing to pay it, if some other issue is going on, that may not be the right move to make in that regard.
All right. Emmett next on the phone. Hi, Emmett. Go ahead. Are you there, Emmett? Not hearing Emmett. Let me get Irene in Fairport. Hi, Irene. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Hi, Evan and your guests. This is very disconcerting, and I'm thinking if an employee was acting in the way that it appears that this board member is acting, there would be disciplinary action taken and this behavior not allowed to continue. So that's very distressing and sounds like it's partially the reason that Dr. Peluso was leaving. So how are you going to prevent this happening to another future superintendent? So those were my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene.
Thank you. I think the laws have to change a little bit, too. I think there's going to have to be some exceptions made for the Rochester City School Board, given our history, because she's right. If you were an employee in any other job, you would be either fired or removed, even if you were a board member, sort of disrupting the day-to-day operations of a nonprofit, right, or any other entity that has a board. That board would figure out a way to say, hey, this board member is disruptive to this organization. We're going to remove you and we're going to make a vote. But we're not in that position to do so. And it is very limiting currently the pathways for removal.
Well, the other piece is that probably at this point, Now that we've, you know, I think that we have in Dr. Peluso, the greatest superintendent that since my being on there for 18 years, and we've lost him, who had a commitment to stay if things worked out. Maybe it's time for us to seriously consider that, and particularly since I just got this text. Maybe it's time for us to seriously consider it.
Judy says, I would like to know who made Mr. Peluso's work life so impossible that I can vote for someone else. I had big hopes for Carmine Peluso. So Judy is echoing what a number of listeners are saying. They don't know all the internal politics. They're not able to sort of piece together who you're talking about. And if you're just joining us, the reason that the president and the vice president have said they are not going to name names is because of a desire to let Dr. Peluso finish his term with RCSD through the end of June and try to do it with in the least tumultuous way possible. But the listeners are saying they still want you to name names.
Correct.
But tell them to just watch the board meetings. They'll be able to determine.
Which you can find on YouTube.
Yeah. That's right. Well, what I will say is this. I will not mention names now. But once Dr. Peluso has transitioned, absolutely, I plan to be as transparent as I legally can with the public. I just want to make sure that there's some coverage for Dr. Peluso because, again, we have a great relationship, the president and I, and, you know, we want to support him in our leadership so that he can continue his leadership to the end of the school year with the least amount of issues, if you will, if possible.
Emmett is back on the line. Hey, Emmett, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have a question. I want to make sure that I'm correct about this. I believe I'm a former employee of the district. I started in the mid-90s, left town, went to Seattle, and came back. I believe the Rochester Board is the highest paid part-time board in the state. Is that correct?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I mean, it has to do with the fact that
We do work in all honesty.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying
it's been
the highest paid part-time board, my understanding, in the state. And at the same time, it's wildly considered to be one of the worst school districts, if not the worst school district, score-wise. I know that has a lot to do with poverty.
Let me just say this. The fact that that we get a salary, which is far less than the work that we do, has in no way correlate with the other statement that you made. This was put in place before we got here. And I know that that's the narrative out there, but trust me, I need to be making 10 times more based on the work that I do in this district. So don't
having
get
worked for, having worked for the
yeah.
district. I understand that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I also understand that the politics yeah. that arise through this district, the degree to which decisions are made
right.
purely on politics.
Yes.
And we haven't been able to keep for all the different reasons. We haven't been able to have a commissioner, in my knowledge,
yeah.
the last like 30 years, we haven't had one for more than 3 years in a row.
Right.
And in large part because of interference from the board, which has been a problem for like 30 years.
The last couple of years, it has not been a problem. But understand that every time you get a new board, there's going to be some disruption. And so that's what we're working towards to try to mitigate the disruption. That does also take time in order to become a school board member if you've come from a community where you've been an activist. It's going to take some time, but we want to work through that.
I just want to point out, though, I hear you and I agree. And this is why I'm saying that this is the time that the state delegation needs to start looking at changing the law. And let me just be clear. I do not see the state coming in to do a full board removal. There's ripple effects for that. I don't see them sort of creating a law that would impact hundreds of other school districts that it's not even applicable to them, right? So they do, in my opinion, have to focus on Rochester and this particularly sort of board dynamic, because President Elliott's right. There's a storming norming, as she says,
mm-hmm.
that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when it's not clicking for people, right? And how long do you give them? And how long does the people around them that have to deal with them and interact with them suffer through that? So I hear you. And my advocacy is that our state starts looking at requiring Rochester's board to have certain requirements, certain training requirements, and certain removal requirements so that we can move forward.
Let me just say, as we get ready to wrap here, that there's still a great amount of work that has to get done.
Yes.
As there always is. And one of the things the board has to consider, just today I saw a letter from the U of R president, Sarah Mengelsdorf, and the Warner School dean at the University of Rochester sent the school board members a letter this week asking the district to consider voting for an extension of the current EPO agreement and parameters with no changes for another 3 years to give them the time and attention to a transition plan during the 3 years. What do you say to
if
that?
If they put money into it, we will consider it.
100%.
They are not putting a dime into it.
The U of R
has
never
put a dime into it.
Exactly. And
they just gave us their name. And we have schools that have shown that they perform even greater than the East EPO. So we do have to
You don't
take
think the East EPO has been a success?
No, it's not. I'm not saying it hasn't been a success.
Okay, do you
early
think
college has been a success as well?
Okay, do you right? think it's been a success, East EPO?
Yeah, I think it's been a success.
Okay.
I think it's been a success. However, we have to look at, and Dr. Peluso informed us about this, we have to look at our long-range financial position. We were paying a superintendent. We're paying a deputy assistant superintendent. We're paying a academic officer. We're giving them. We have to vote tonight on an agreement for $300,000+ as a consultant fee for the U of R. And they told us up front in the beginning when the former president made this deal that they would not put any money into it. We have to look at our financial position long term. So it is being considered this evening.
All right.
And that's all I would say, too, is that if the U of R wants to continue the partnership, then the U of R should have put some skin in the game and with money and resources and financial resources. That's all.
That's probably a whole separate conversation,
yes.
But it's just an example of the many issues that the board is still working on and still focused on, despite all of this disruption and this tumult. And I want to thank our guest, the president of the school board, is Cynthia Elliott. Thank you on short notice for coming in and talking about this.
Thank you.
The vice president of the school board is Beatrice LeBron. Same. Thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And we will, I promise, listeners, we're going to continue to try to press this and get information. And you've heard from the president and the vice president. The members of the school board will be invited. And we will see who takes us up on that in the days to come. Thanks for listening today. It's the whole team of Connections, Rob, Megan, Evan, saying thank you. We're back with you tomorrow. Jasmine Singer is hosting Environmental Connections, and we'll talk with you. I'll talk with you on Monday.